Well, this morning we're looking at this wonderful covenant that we have. We're talking about Abraham. It's one thing. This is a covenant of blessing. And what we want to see in really this covenant that we walk in is a covenant of faith. It's what it's about. This morning we're going to look at Abraham in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And one of the things mostly is the people deal with the areas of sacrificing Isaac. But that's not what this chapter is about. This chapter is a chapter about faith. It's not about sacrifice. We've gotten a lot of this wrong about Abraham. There's one thing that's, is all through the, like we look at Abraham. Abraham built altars and sacrificed to the Lord. He did what he did because of faith. You know, sacrifices mean nothing without faith. They don't mean anything. You know, you can walk before God. You can sacrifice a lot for Him. You know, I came out of religion as a kid in a religious church. And their whole idea was if, you sacrifice a lot, then God's really happy. They knew nothing about faith. They didn't know anything about, and I'm not making fun of them or anything. They weren't taught it. And so they, they didn't teach it. They didn't know. But see, they thought, we're just living this life of sacrifice. This is what I found out. The more I trust God, the more easier it is to do what He wants to do. And it's not a burden, people talk about sacrificial offerings. Well, you probably ain't in faith anyhow. Why are you giving it? And the guy's tasking you to do it once you get into works. It's like, come on. That's not what we're doing. We're doing what we do by faith. You know, you hear people say, you can't outgive God. Well, they talk like you can. You're giving, I don't want to do it. Well, if you understand faith and understand how to trust God, you can do what God tells you to do and have confidence. And we're going to talk about that today, looking at this. But in opening up, we're going to read and starting into the first two verses here. God sort of changed a bit in a direction, and I was going to speaking about this because there's some things He wants to get across to us. Hallelujah, to help us here and now. And in Genesis 22nd chapter, it says this, in verse 1, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt sacrifice on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Well, now that's exciting, isn't it? We're talking about a thing of faith. We want to. He asked him. We're gonna find out as we go, and we look at this because I mean, if we won't go read all through it, but it says in verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled a donkey, and took the two of his sons, and anyhow took two young men with him, and took Isaac. In other words, he got up the next morning and did it.
Praise God.
God said, "Do that." Scriptures tell us. He did it. He rose up the next morning. What I want you to understand this is we're going to learn some things here about this as we go along. And we want to look at how he was able to do that. And you need to understand, Abraham is not exceptional. If he is, what's the point in following and learning what he did about it? I mean, it's just a story you can't do. This is what most of the church world believes. It's a story. Well, we can't do that. We couldn't do that. We couldn't get up in the morning and go, we couldn't do this kind of thing. Well, I want to show you we can. You can develop in faith and do anything God tells you to do.
Amen.
If God tells you to do it, you can rise up by faith and do it. And you can rise up. God says go to do it. And you know what? You'll just go do it. And so, we want to look at it, in our life. Number one is we got to change the way we think about these things. We got to get ourselves in another way of thinking. Now, we want to see some things here. One thing I want us to get a hold of is this. It says, God tested Abraham. Now, understand, we're going to look at something here. The Lord dealt with me about this and talk about this morning. Is the difference between being tested and being tempted. They're two different things. Most of the church world has it all tied together. They believe God's in they don't really believe what the scripture says about God. But you need to understand this. It says God tested Abraham. What's he testing? He's testing his faith. His faith. You need to understand this about you. God is going to do things to test your faith. for you. It's for you. It isn't for him. It's for you. You know, we went to school. They did tests. What did they find out the test? Well, what you know, what you don't know. You need to understand this. You need to learn to like tests. If you don't, quit saying something else. If you are, I'm going to tell you, it's almost a disobedience. Because what you're doing, you're not hurting God, you're hurting you. You're going to limit your faith. It's just like anything. You need to know. I mean, it's just like anything you want to learn in life, whatever you do. Testing shows whether or not you learn it. Right now, our educational system is a mess because we're moving testing. We're sending kids to college that are as dumb as a stick, giving them degrees that mean nothing. Because his idea, we're just trying to take care of it. We're doing it in schools. You know, they're taking kids who are, in special education, who are really not able to learn much, giving them high school diplomas. That don't give a kid an education. That don't change nothing. That means the people in charge are pretty stupid. Somebody ought to give them a test. You know, somebody ought to test to see if what they're doing is working. Well, they don't want to do that. You know, they even remove the testing from teachers to say, are you doing a good job? Well, no, we don't want to have that. Why? We can't get teachers. Why? Because, the teachers are dumb coming out of school, so they're dumb going into teaching. And this is what we're doing. Education level's dropping. It's not rising. It's dropping. Why? Well, it comes down to the thing is what's taught and tested. You know, testing is good. Amen. And if you don't have tests, I was always thought it was funny. At, you know, I was at Raymond Bible Training Center school, so you'd always have your exams and your midterms and all that. You'd have all that and all your things, and all the complaining would go on in students. And I used to tell them, say, why don't you use your faith? Mm-hmm. You know, now you're here at a place teaching you faith, and they don't even know where to use it at. You know, it's a lot of people. We talk about faith, but most Christians don't know how to use it. They don't know where to use it. They don't know what to use it in. It's used. One thing that I learned about faith is about everyday life. Using it all the time. Amen. Using it all the time. If you ain't using your faith, you don't recognize it all the time, then you're not walking by faith. How would you know you're walking by faith if you ain't using it? If you don't know if you're using it or not. You know, it's walking by it. We're using our faith. Hallelujah to walk. Glory to God. You know, walk along praising God, acting like He's doing something for you.
Amen.
Because, you know, some days don't look like nothing's working for you. But you're praising God that He's working for you. You know, this is the faith life. Everybody say, he's insane. He's praying. It don't look like it's working. He's a nut. He's going around praising God that don't look like it's working. Hallelujah. That's faith. That's what we do. Hallelujah. But God always ends up showing up. God makes it work. Hallelujah. You know, we got to maintain. Number one, you have to maintain your joy. Can't maintain your joy, you won't maintain faith. It'll never happen. You got to maintain your joy. Hallelujah. You just got to keep yourself rejoicing in the Lord always.
Amen.
And so you want to do that. But we want to talk about this here on this testing thing. Because James made this statement in James, the first chapter. James opens up his letter. And then in verse 2 of the letter, James says this, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, he says, patience. The King James says, work it. The idea of it is the idea is working. I like it, the idea that is used of working, if you look up the word means. And it's because of this. Your patience is tied to your level of faith. See, everything, now, when I'm talking about faith, we need to get it up. We usually categorize, we're a person of faith, we got born again. That's good. But in our walk in life, we have levels of faith in different areas. You know, we have some levels we can walk in a higher level and another area we maybe don't walk well at. Mm-hmm. And understand it. Do you ever? I'll tell you this. You can always find where a person has a level problem of faith. That's the place that they're impatient. They might have other areas over here. They're very patient to stand in faith. They're very good at it. So you have to develop. One of the things is you're going to have to develop in that area. The more you develop an area where your faith gets stronger, you will find this. It puts your patience to work. And if your faith is stronger, you're going to have more, you'll be able to stand more patiently in that area. You're going to be able to do that. So what it is, because Abraham, God is giving him a test, and this is a test of faith. It didn't happen overnight. This is many years have passed. In fact, at this point here, you know, some say that he could have been, Isaac could have been anywhere from 17 to 19 years old when this took place. You know, some of them were a little boy. He wasn't a little boy. He was getting grown up. There's ones that believe he might be a little bit older, but I don't know. I don't think that he was. But in that age group, he is in that age. So when we go back to the beginning where Abraham was 75 years old when he came into the land, God has been working in him all this time and has been doing things, and he has been developing faith in God. In fact, it is so noticeable. If we had went back to the end of 21, we didn't talk about it, but Abimelech and his general of his armies came to Abraham and said to Abraham, "We know God's with you. We want to make a covenant with you because we don't want you to harm us, and we won't harm you." Okay, you know. Why? They see that God works in this man. Well, God didn't work in him just because, you know, God said, you know, I like this guy special. This man developed in faith so God could manifest himself. Amen. You're going to have to find out with yourself. There's no difference. You know, you might look at somebody and think, well, they're special. Sometimes we look at ministers and ministries, we think that they're special, and they're not. You need to understand, you're going to develop your faith. They do too. You know, there's ministers. I mean, there's people in healing. I've read after people who had wonderful healing ministries, yet they couldn't believe God to be healed for themselves. They never developed in that area. God anointed them, and they had a healing anointing, and they ministered to other people, and people got healed, yet they couldn't. They never developed themselves in that. Why? Because they got to develop just like you do. And so we think, we shine a light. Then this is where people get into all these questions. Well, you know, he has a healing anointing, he died. Well, God must not heal everybody. It's because of our lack of intelligence. And it is. We have a lack of spiritual intelligence to understand this. That they have to develop. Just because a person has a healing anointing doesn't mean that they have faith for healing. God manifests something through them, sometimes in spite of them. You know, this is one thing as many people don't realize, and I see this in the ministry. I've watched over the years all the time. Many people get over and don't realize that their gifting in them in ministry is not them. Oh, they think it is. They think they're special. They think they are. No, this is God. You remove God, it's just them. But they don't know that. They get over and think it's them. It's not them. It's not you. This is God's working. So you got to keep yourself humble in the area that it's God working in you and doing what he does through you. And it's not your greatness or your great power, or you're just smart. Hallelujah. God makes people look smart. He makes people look powerful, but it's God doing it. And so, you know, people might think one thing, but you better think the right thing, because the devil will come and eat your lunch eventually.
Come on.
And I'll tell you what, if you play that game and get people to follow after you, you'll have a lot of people that the devil will eat their lunch because of the way you're thinking and the way you're heading. Amen. You get them alone and they get messed up.
Amen.
People need to be very careful about that. Very careful about that. You give God the glory. Hallelujah. It's not man. It's God. Because we want to look at this. So this temptation, he said in here. So he said, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So faith will give you this ability to stand. This is what you need to understand. Faith is not just something, everything happens instantaneously, if you have not noticed. And if you can't stand, you're going to have a lot of problems. You're going to have a lot of trouble where you're going to say, well, and so what? This is what people have done. Many times people have started off in the areas of faith, and then what they did was they started off in faith. Things didn't happen quickly. Well, God must have a reason why he's not doing this. The first thing people do is put it over at God. Well, it could never be me doing something. Amen. It could never be me. It must be God. You know, Brother Hagin has one of the little books that he put out. Don't blame God. Every Christian should have one of those. Every preacher should have one of those, because there's been so much preached that has been wrong about that stuff. We have big doctrines. Right now, that's one of the great doctrines of the church, is to blame God. That's a great doctrine. Well, if it didn't happen right away, well, then God must have had a reason. Say, it couldn't be me. Well, I have faith. I'm a Christian. Yeah, you had faith to get born again, but that doesn't mean you have faith in anything else. Amen. You can believe for anything else. You know, you're going to have a hard time believing for anything else if you believe God's in control. You're going to have a tough time believing for anything else outside. You're going to have a hard time at it. And so you have to look at yourself. And so what we want to look at this is testing is a good thing. It lets us know where we stand. I found this out. There's times that my faith was tested, and I've learned to do this, and you need to learn. You need to learn to test your own faith.
Amen. Preach.
If you don't, if you only use your faith at the time when you need something or want something or do something like that, or something comes along and happens to you, you're going to always be behind what they call the eight ball. You're always going to be. You're never going to be a really good thriver. You have to learn. See, I've learned over time to use my faith. At times, I don't have anything going on. I'm just going to use my faith to believe God for something.
Amen.
Putting my faith out there. You need to learn to do that. If you don't do that, to learn to be, you know, if you're going to sit around and wait till the devil comes and brings you a problem, you're not going to grow up a whole lot. You're going to find yourself lacking and wanting. That the Lord said to me, don't allow the church to pay you enough of the from the standpoint of things that you want. Always have your faith out for things greater that you want, things that you desire. See, many people don't do that. I see people do this all the time. Their faith is in their employer. Whatever their employer pays them, well, I got to get a raise from him. Why not believe a raise from anybody? You know, just Amen. Believe God. What is all this? You limit yourself. You're limited. You're limited. See, you got to get yourself in your thinking of how you change. Is God limited by your employer? Is God, what do you, but your limits that you believe is what sets. That's where it's set. See, God taught me that, about that. See, I had my faith over an employer. And then God told me I was supposed to change employers. I was supposed to be employed by Him. Oh, I'm working for a guy, but he said, why don't you make me your boss instead of him? Oh, well, that means I had to do good work for the other guy because the Bible requires it.
Amen.
See, we need to get over in this thing, and we're going to look at some of these things today that will help you to get out in an areas of faith. In other words, and open your faith up to believe beyond what you're believing now.
Amen.
You've got to go further. You've got to go further. We're going to look at Abraham. But let's look at, I want to look at the areas where the Lord said to talk about temptation. Now, James also wrote, he wrote here about testing, but if we look down in the same chapter, a little bit lower, down the 12th verse, he says this, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." He says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." Ooh, we whine about that stuff. The Bible says there's a blessing to be able to endure temptation.
Amen.
Now, he goes this, "Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Temptation is dealing with sin. See, God isn't trying to, he's not tempting Abraham, he's testing him. He's not trying to get Abraham to sin. He knows Abraham. God knows the measure of faith you have. What he would like to get you to do is use it sometime.
Come on.
I'm going to tell you what. 90% of Spirit-filled Christians never knew use the level of faith they got.
Come on.
Never use it. I remember listening to Brother Hagin talk about it in meetings he used to do before he was in, you know, with Raymond and all that stuff. But he talked about out in field ministry. He talked about how Christians would come up during meetings that he would have, and he'd ministered healing a lot. God used him in that area. But Christians would say to him, "I don't have faith for healing." And Brother Hagin would say, "You don't?" He said, "You're a believer that don't believe?" You see, you need to get... See, what he's dealing with them is their thinking. Mm-hmm. Most Christians, I mean, spirit-filled people, don't think right. It is natural for me to believe the word. Amen. It is the most natural thing.
Amen.
I will never talk any different.
Amen.
People say it's hard to believe. No, it ain't. It ain't hard for Ed to believe.
Amen.
I refuse to talk different about it. I will not talk any other way about it.
Come on.
I'm having trouble believing. I never have trouble believing. Sometimes I have trouble acting on it, but I never have trouble believing. Word's true. See, it's what you're... How do you think about this? I'm a believer. It is my nature to believe my God. Amen. That is my nature. That is your nature, is to believe your God. Get that into your thinking. That's your nature. It's just, I'm a believer. I believe. That is my nature to believe. You know, he'd talk to people and he'd tell himself all the time, you know, what he would do with people is get them to start saying the right thing. He'd say, start saying this or that, and then come back in 2 nights and come up. And he said, constantly people got healed. Amen. That said they couldn't get healed. Amen. Constantly. Why? He had to change their thinking. He had to get them saying the right thing so they could get thinking the right thing. You see, this is where it goes. How do you think about it? You need to think, I'm a believer. It is in my nature to believe. It is. I respond to faith quickly.
Amen.
See, get yourself thinking like, amen. Hallelujah. See, get yourself over in that area and talk. You know, make your life happy. Because, you know, the Lord was talking to me this morning down here while we were worshiping. He said there's great shadows, he said, over our nation and over nations of the earth. But he said the light in the believer is greater than any shadow over the nations.
Amen.
Wow, I wish the church would figure that one out.
Hallelujah.
All we hear about is the shadow. We hear about the stuff. You know, the news media, both sides of them, they're good casting shadows. They are wonderful at it. All of them are wonderful at casting shadows. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what, we're the light of the world.
Amen.
They say, well, you know, Jesus. No, we are. The church is the light. Hallelujah. The light's in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, he went on here to say, God doesn't do any tempting. What is temptation? He says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. See, you're dealing with your own desires. Understand this about Satan. Satan is a tempter. And the more weak we are in the flesh, the more he has to get after.
Amen.
We need to understand this. This deals with the weakness of the flesh. This is why the same Spirit, you know, we talk about from a healing standpoint, and it is true. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens the mortal body. I want to tell you what, has a lot to do in this area of the flesh also. If you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, it'll help you not to be tempted. Help you bring your flesh under. You need to understand this. We don't emphasize the Holy Spirit enough.
Amen.
Man, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit in us, man, that's the biggie.
Amen.
To be born again and not have knowledge of this in you, I'm going to tell you what, it's just being saved and that's it. You're just going to drag along and you're just going to... It's the Holy Spirit in you. He's not just doing just to help to get by. This is about a life that works in us. It's working in us. This life is in us, affecting us. Hallelujah. It's affecting your body. So we're dealing with this. There are temptation. It's when we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. He said, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So in other words, it's dealing. Getting over, we can come over this area. If you know you're doing something wrong and something, you know, wrong, you know you sin. You know, if your flesh is getting over an area and you're fighting whether I ought to do this or not do that, and you know that this would be wrong, this is where the battle. Here's the battle. This is most people. They're trying to have this spirit that. But I've heard a lot of teaching people do about spiritual warfare. This is the spiritual warfare. This is what you're going to put up with. This is the things you put up with every day. This is the spiritual warfare. You're down here and your flesh, you're in the flesh, and I'm just going to say this. Your flesh is going to have desires that you don't like, and you're going to have it for the rest of your life.
Come on.
We need to understand, that's just the way it is. You see, Satan has a right to tempt people. He has a right. He has a right in this earth. When Adam sinned, like the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, he told him, he said, when Adam rebelled, you know, he committed high treason. Adam committed high treason. He said, when that happened, Satan now has a right in this earth to operate. He has a right here. He can come and tempt you. He tempted Jesus. Now, you know, the one thing is for Jesus to have, you know, Jesus would have never went to the cross if he couldn't have kept his flesh under. Well, the first thing God sent him and told him fast for 40 days, sent him into the wilderness, what? To be tempted by the devil, dealing with his flesh.
Right.
Bringing your flesh under. You got to learn to do that. You're going to succeed. You got to learn to do that. You got to learn to bring your flesh under. That's part of what we do. This is temptation. This is the devil. You have flesh. Every one of it has missed it in this area numerous times.
Yeah.
You've done it. That's the way it is. But this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with this area where our flesh gets tempted. See, your flesh wants to do something. Understand this about Satan. He'll always especially come to you in your areas of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he will always, always do. Jesus, you know, he didn't come to him after the second day of fasting. No, he came to 40. What? The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. While the flesh is weak, let's get him to do something. That's what he's going to do. You know, the whole thing about Jesus, and he said he'd come to be tempted by the devil. Lots of people teach a lot of things that this is some kind of big spiritual thing. No, it had to do with his flesh. This whole thing was about his flesh. Of bringing his flesh. See, your flesh is like his. The devil tried to tempt him in power. He'll do it to your flesh all the time. People want power. People want to... They want... Yeah, I want my say. I want my thing. I want... All those things, you know. Go jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Show them how cool you are, what you can do. Hey, yeah, I want people to think I'm slick, you know. I mean, people today, you go online and all these things that people do to draw attention to themselves.
Come on.
It's none but the flesh. People say, this is cool. No, it comes down to it. Everybody, I got to be seen.
Come on.
You want to get people depressed today? Nobody notices me. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Nobody pays any attention to me. I found out in life that's good. They're letting you alone. That's what people want. The flesh. The flesh is always going to move to those areas. We do in our society, even in the church world, we glorify the ones that want to be noticed the most. We just glorify. And people want to, I want to be like they are because they're noticed. They don't take the guy that's not noticed a lot, but it's real spiritual. That guy. I want to be the guy that's noticed. I want people to see. I want people to see how great I am. I want to see people how wonderful I am. You see, it's the flesh. And whatever, it conceives itself and it brings forth death. And the devil talks people into this trap all the time. There are many good Christians, I mean, by the millions over the centuries who have fallen because of this.
Mm-hmm.
It is easy. They get the flesh and the devil, you know, just keeps on them, moves them into an area, you know, takes something in an area of them, you know. Well, you know, you could do this. You could do that. Boy, they'd notice. If you did this, boy, you could really draw attention and they would really know you then. And then you could do all these wonderful things for God. Well, people do that all the time. You know, I mean, you know, it's just like flesh. When I was in Raymond School, I talked about it, you know, because I was, Wanda and I were very close to some of the people in the ministerial staff. And Raymond students would come and ask me, how can you get close to them? How do you do that? I said, I don't know. I said, we never tried to get close to them. I said, they came and got close to us. I said, we never asked. We don't do nothing about getting close to them. I said, if they want us to do something for them, we do it. And I said, that's it. We don't. But see, they were there. Now just think about this. You're sitting there, you're having all this good teaching going on. They taught us about this stuff. They taught us. We're listening to all this teaching. But you know what? The flesh gets over. I can get a great start if I could get that. If I get close to them, I could arrive at something. See, I'd be noticed then and I could arrive to this. But once get close, boy, if I could just get close to them. So you get those things you got to watch because those are things we're dealing with temptation. This isn't test. This is where the battle is. You're out there. This is where you get the guns out. and you're shooting it out not to fall to this thing. And it is. It's a battle. And don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. The Scripture tells us, don't think it's strange that you know these stuff come. Paul said, don't think it's weird that this is happening to you. That these trials, this fire starts. Man, you'd be in the midst of doing good and all of a sudden a fire starts. And this stuff comes in your flesh and you're going to have to deal with it. And so those are things we deal with. Now, there's one thing here that I really like that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and I'm going to read verse 13. He says this about temptation. He said, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. Now, you get down to this. The devil will always try to pull you out a way to make you think that you're exceptional in temptation. You have something that nobody else has. Nobody understands you. If I'd have $100 for every time somebody told me, you don't understand, I know exactly where they're coming from. They have gotten themselves over thinking they're special. They don't see that they've gotten into a trap. No temptation. You're not in an area of temptation. It's just common to man. Jesus was not tempted in areas that aren't common to you.
Come on.
I get that thinking. He's not. See, this isn't specialty. The one thing that Satan is wonderful at is making you think that somehow you're isolated and you're just... Mm-hmm. He's great at that. Mm-hmm. Everybody's looking at me and they're all down on me. He's good at that. And you know what? We have developed, as human beings, to really be good at falling for that.
Come on.
We haven't been taught about this stuff enough. Is saying, hey, hold it. See, it's how you view yourself and how you see yourself. See, as Christians, most Christians see themselves as what they were before they got born again. They're just so they're the same old person. And they say, they carry their personality never changes to the level of teaching and stuff. They get teaching in these areas. We need to get ourself up to how we view ourselves. And then he went on to say there, but God is faithful. Oh, and I love that. So temptation, but God, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to take it. Understand this immediately. God's involved in this. Satan can't go as far with you as he'd like to.
Come on.
If he goes as far as he liked, it's because you yielded to it and you allowed him to do it. Because he says God's faithful. Because he said he's going to not let... God said... Was Paul right or did Paul just lie about this? Was Paul just trying to say a nice thing to this? He said to this Corinth, this heathen Corinth bunch. These were carnal folk. And he said to them, look, so God is working. Number one, Satan wants you to come to the place you can't make it through. You're going to have to do it this way. You can't get past this. Yes, you can.
Come on, preach.
If God didn't work in this manner, every baby Christian would just fail all the time. The devil would just overrun him. He's not able to. See, I look back at my Christian walk as young, and I learned as going up, and I talk about it. I can see as I went along, my God took me through things, and I look back and say, oh my God. It wasn't my great walk of faith. It was His great goodness. Hallelujah. The wonderful things He did, because as a baby, He got me through, and He did. This is really interesting. Kenneth Hagin had told a story I thought was really good. A minister taught that he had a minister come into his church one time, got preaching on some really crazy doctrines. And he said, it just astounded me. And he took the minister aside and he said to him, I don't know, where are you getting these teachings from? And he said he had the Bible. He said, you're going to show me in the Bible. And this guy said, oh, I'm far beyond that. So he said this. But it's very interesting. This guy had a division in his church called this minister. And he said the thing that amazed him one, he said, not one baby Christian fell for it. Only older Christians are the only ones that fell for it. I'm going to tell you what, I've watched this over the years. You want to watch a Christian? And I'll tell you what, I've watched people think they're really mature fall for false doctrine easier than babies do. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why it happens. And all of us deal with this. If you want to grow up, you're going to deal with this. Don't walk thinking you're smart.
Come on.
Always keep yourself as a child when it comes to teaching and learning.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that get deceived get deceived by somebody who is high up there, who teaches something that has a great voice into an area and will teach doctrines and things. People buy it. Almost always comes. That's the way it mostly comes. You know, this is the whole thing as we have today. It's like we have in our nation, from our politics, from these two, you know, political parties we have. They're high, they're in, and they pump things out. Then we have the media, they're in front, and they pumping things, and people just buy stuff and gulp. Hey, loads of Christians are gulping. Spirit-filled Christians are gulping stuff, and they're just going along. They're not measuring stuff. They're not measuring things. We need to learn to do this. We need to learn this thing here. And why? Because we don't want to get over into the crazy. We don't want to get over there. It's easy for people to say things. But we want to get over here and look at this, because when getting into this area, understanding, there's nothing wrong with testing. Testing we need.
Amen.
We need in this area of testing. Now, we want to look at this part of it. We want to look at this. How did Abraham come to the place where he would do this, take his son and offer him as a sacrifice? Where did he get this faith to do this? We don't have God build him over time. We don't have God saying anything about even raising from the dead. God has not said anything to him about that. We have written. How did he come up with this? How did he come up with this idea? Where did it come from? Now, that doesn't mean nobody has ever talked about this stuff before, but we don't have it from a scriptural standpoint. How did he come there? And I want to come to a thing to this that we get around and learn. Faith we have here in Abraham. What did Abraham believe? What did Abraham believe that he did that? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us. We go over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It tells us what Abraham believed and why he did what he did. It tells us. See, if you just look in Genesis, you don't know how did he arrive? I want to know how here, but we want to find how he arrived at this faith, and this is something that we as Christians need to learn to do. He did something, and we need to learn to operate in the same way if we want to operate in higher levels of faith. Because I'm just going to tell you this. God's not going to tell you everything. He expects you to figure some things out.
Amen. Preach.
By the knowledge that's given you. If you're waiting for everybody to come and teach you each thing, you'll be waiting until they put you in a casket and you'll probably never find it out. A lot of things out.
Come on.
It comes to that point. God gives us wisdom. What good is wisdom if I can't have good reasoning? It's no good. Now, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 17 says this, by faith, now this is done by faith, when he was tested, so this is a test of faith, he said he offered Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding, now this is what Abraham concluded, that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him as a figurative sense. Abraham, the reason he was willing to offer Isaac is he figured. Understand, God told him, this is the one, the seed that's going to carry. This is where this is going to go from this one. God says, offer him up. Well, what's the logic thought? If I offer him and he dies and God don't raise him up, then God lied about this whole thing. That's just good logic. You see, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. Because why? This is it. If God tells me to offer him up, Abraham's going to go watch another miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This is amazing. He didn't pray and fast and try to... This is one thing. There's numbers of things over time that I've learned to walk in faith with God. God never told me specifically. But certain things that he told me, I came to some logical conclusions about where I can walk.
Amen.
You need to learn to do that.
Amen.
Because see, I can't find certain things in scriptures that says any certain things concerning Ed Gibson on stuff. But you need to understand this. You need to come to some logical conclusions. You know, it's like when I had my heart attack, My logical conclusion was, God ain't trying to kill me here. This isn't God. My logical conclusion is, God told me about what He wanted me to do. I'm supposed to be living. So therefore, we're not dying right now.
Amen.
The devil says you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
My heart says you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
But I says, I'm sorry. Why? I just concluded from what God had dealt with me over time, this ain't Ed's time to be leaving.
Amen. Praise God.
So you've got to come. See, this is how you're going to respond. If you think that you're fighting and trying to get God to do it for you, you're going to have a terrible fight of faith. And you're going to be trying to claw to hang on. I wasn't trying to claw to hang on. That's why I stood up and said, I'm going for a run. God ain't trying to kill me.
Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
The devil is. Who do I work for? Who am I living for?
Amen.
Most people think it's a devil. They're just, oh my God. I just come to conclusion. You come to conclusions about things. You need to be like that. I guess I thought people just thought like that, faith people, but God told me different. He said, you need to talk about this because, He says, people aren't doing it. They aren't coming to reasonable conclusions about things, and they're fighting to get through things they don't have to fight to get through.
Amen.
Just stand up.
Preach.
That you don't need to pray 2 seconds about.
Amen.
You know? You know, I down in Peru, I went with Rhema, I went down to Peru on a mission trip. And like we had like 20-some, students and then some of the leaders that were along with us from Rhema and stuff. And we went down. I mean, just supernatural. The story of getting down there was just so supernatural. It was phenomenal. It was incredible because naturally we shouldn't have been able to even make it down. We turned around and got down there. I mean, actually, I can say this. One of the most supernatural times I've ever had in my life. I mean, the move of God was just phenomenal. I mean, it was like a daydream. Coming on the plane back. So what happens? We're flying on the plane back and we really hit rough turbulence. And there's some of the students running around saying, we need to pray, we need to pray. I said, look, God didn't send me down to do this to kill me on the way home. I said, I'm sorry, we're going home. Why? They never learned to come to any conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the devil's carrying on. Well, sure he's carrying on.
Come on.
My God! What is it? He's been doing that! How long? Ever since he got kicked out of heaven.
Amen.
He been carrying on. And that's all. He's only like a roaring lion. He got a big mouth. And all they're doing is, I'm going to let him use my mouth. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let him roar through me.
Come on.
And we're people of faith. Say, no, no. Say, he ain't killing me in the way home.
Amen.
I'm going home to my wife and kids.
Hallelujah.
I know what you're doing.
Hallelujah.
Let's see their action. See, let's get a good worry pray session going. This will work.
Nope.
I don't care how the devil shook that plane. We going home.
Because
God had spoken to me things about when I come back. So therefore, I knew His will. What I'm going to do, I'm talking like I'm going home.
Amen.
I'm not getting into this prayer meeting they're having.
Come on.
That's not the prayer meeting we're going to.
Amen.
You know what's funny? Because I looked around the plane and you're sitting there and there's loads of sinners on that plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they ain't whining and crying. And the Christians are, let's have a prayer meeting.
Oh.
But see, you've got to come to some conclusions about God's word, about what God has said. And you come to those things of places that you turn around. This is where I'm standing on this because of what He's told me over time. This, I can stand over here. See, Abraham came to a conclusion. If this son of mine is the one that sees coming, he has to live or God's a liar. He's already decided that God's on the top of the list. So, we can do this. I'm going to go down there and watch the miracle. Now, I guarantee you, he didn't tell Sarah before he about this. I'll guarantee you he didn't tell Mama. No, you don't tell Mama. No, you don't tell Mama. Mama ain't going to. No. I learned there's times that you just walk and you just don't say stuff to people. If you want to have a lot of unbelief hang on you, just say something when something like this comes up. Say something. And you have so many Christians will turn around and they'll, are you sure you're supposed to? You sure about this? You heard from God? Yeah. Sometimes you just keep it to yourself. Just go do it. You know, go get the donkey out and load him up. Go do it. Whatever it is you're supposed to be doing, just go do it. And you come into those things. But I want to tell you what. This is one thing. This is why you want God. See, this is one of the reasons why I understood this. When I first got started off as a Christian, I sort of didn't like God coming along and telling me things about my future because of this. You go for years, nothing happened. You know, you go years and years, and nothing happens. So you get over there, why don't you just wait down the road to get set? But you know, I realized over time, this is the best thing he did. I knew my destiny. So I can reason out a lot of good things along the way.
Amen.
And you need to know this. If you ain't listening to the Holy Spirit in you, and you don't know your destiny, you can't reason out good things for your future. Right. You're just going to have to take what the devil throws along the way and try to knock it out of the way. That's what you're going to do. Now, I'm just telling you this. I'm not saying this to criticize anybody. But, you know, I thought people just did this. I didn't know. But the Lord told me, no, they don't. See, I would take things that the Lord said about my future and say, okay, this is going on and it don't look like it's heading me there. This is where I'm walking. I'm going to walk over here. Because I see that. And this ain't there. So I got to walk over here. I'm going to conclude that this is it here. See, I didn't figure I was John the Baptist leaving early. See, John's the one said, he must increase, I must decrease. God never told me to say that. He never revealed that when it did. So therefore, where do I walk at? See, a person can say, you know, the Bible can say, you know, with long life he'll satisfy you. But I'll tell you, you got to be able to conclude some things down the road to have that.
Uh-huh. That's right. Amen.
Because number one, you can live a long time, not good.
Amen. Amen.
Loads of people are doing it, living long times. Christians living long times, not good. They don't conclude things about themselves. It's seeing yourself, and this is why, you know, renewing your mind, renew the way you think.
Amen.
About things, how you view yourself and see yourself.
Amen.
Take the time to do that. So you got to renew your mind. You got to get yourself thinking right about it, that, you know, you're thinking God's on your side. If you missed it, he's still on your side. You've blown it, he's still on your side. He hasn't changed from that. He's still on your side. He still wants you in heaven with him. See, we get all that. We separate ourselves. You know, we get over there messed up, say, you know, God's unhappy. God may not like what somebody did, but he don't quit loving the person, you know.
Amen.
You know, you might like your child, you know. Some days you just like slap them right upside the head, you know.
Uh-huh.
But you know, you still, and you know what, you end up keeping them. You ever notice that? Just we keep them. We don't, you know, you get there. Now God, you know, turns around and God can get angry about things. I know God's gotten angry with me about things, of not doing things that I knew to do. He never quit on me. Never.
Amen.
Never stopped.
Lord.
He never said, well, the devil can have you. You ever heard that?
Amen.
You know? And you mess up and you repent and he acts like nothing ever took place. Most amazing thing in my, I just can't, that's me, just like, it never happened. Hallelujah. So we want to walk in the light of that. And see, when you understand this about Abraham came to a conclusion that God was going to raise his son from the dead. That's what's going to happen down here. This is what's going to take place. Why? Because God told him that this seed was going to produce, but the whole world's going to be blessed. Well, if he's dead, is the whole world going to... Did God lie? See, this is why God proved himself to him time and time again. God was faithful every time for him to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
As me, as I learned this, even in my stupid, I learned this. God takes care of me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
See, have you learned that about yourself? See, this is why people walk along and they can't forgive themselves. They can't think, they lose sight of the goodness of God. You can't see yourself in a bad light and keep a good light of God.
Come on,
God will just be some religious thing that, you know, that you're, yeah, well, he saved me, but me, you know. You lose the fact of his love for you. You think, sure, he likes somebody else better than you. You know, you'll get over that. You'll get into this thing. You get, and there's the deception. You go over and it's temptation. We don't look at it like that, that it's being sin, but it leads to sin because it draws us away from God and it puts us over in a place where we're not walking in fellowship with God. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to break your fellowship. He wants to get you over there where you're walking along. Don't thinking, God, you know, I confess my sin, but you just don't know how bad I am. You just don't know, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, you just don't know how I feel about this. Well, sure we do. It's all over your face. We put up with it every day. We got to look at your face, that long face. Yeah, we got to put up that every day, you know. I was told years ago, I smile too much. I was told by a spirit-filled Christian, I smile too much. I'm too happy. When I looked at them, it made me smile because I was glad I was happier than they were. Dear God. Made me happy. Thank God I ain't long face like they are. Hallelujah. You see, you learn how to smile in the troubles. Now I want you to think about it. We're going to read this story. This isn't a quick run out there and do this. This is days to think about. This is the trying of your faith. This is what it is. So we go over the third verse. We had started there back in Genesis 22. It says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took the two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. It says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now look at 3 days. Now, this is 3 days and three nights of going out there sleeping, getting up. This is maintained. This guy maintained this thing. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. He maintained this for 3 days. He walks out there for 3 days, maintains this thing. Say, well, can I do that? Yes, you can.
Amen.
See, you got to come to a place that you can maintain over time. When something serious stuff happens and over time and you're dealing with it. How do you act about it? You see, I've learned in this and things of reasoning. It's just like, you know, when Wanda found out about her heart valve. I mean, the surgeon said to her that a person in her condition, he said, like she walked into the ER and the surgeon said, a person in your condition gets carried in here, doesn't walk in. Well, we were using our faith to begin with concerning her problem. So we went in and we heard all kind of bad news and all kind of stuff and things like that. We heard all these things. Well, it's number one that we didn't do. We didn't come back and tell the church all the bad news.
Amen.
We didn't do it. Now, it isn't I don't like people in the church, but I know there's things that don't need to be said.
Come on.
Wanda and I sat and discussed it. We sat down. Okay, what can you believe for, hon? We're going to stand. So we didn't do it 10 seconds. See, most people, well, I just believe for healing. Well, you probably won't get much in that. No. Mm-hmm. What am I believing? Let's be specific.
Amen.
About this thing.
Amen.
You don't go to war off the spur of the moment.
Come on.
You know, our president thought that those Iranian guys, if you blew up some of their stuff, they'd quit. He don't know them. He doesn't know them. Their religion teaches them, you die for it. You don't quit. You just die. Because then I get my virgins. He wasn't expecting that.
That's right.
He didn't realize, you blow up all their toys. They don't care. Mm-hmm. We believe in dying.
Yeah.
We're going to keep doing this till we die. That isn't logical to most people.
Come on.
You need to run it. You're going to run into people like that in life. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you where they got it from. The devil. He don't ever quit. I'll tell you what, you can do it. He'll just keep taking shots.
Come on.
Well, number one, we don't want him to take shots. We don't want to give opportunity. So we decided what we believed on and what we did. And we said, okay, I was going to church on Sunday. She's already in the hospital. And on Monday, she's going to be operated. Sunday's the first I'm going to tell people. I'm going to tell them church. And a few folks remember that Sunday. I come in and I said, I'm not asking anybody praying about this thing. I'm just asking for agreement. This is what we believe. I don't want people praying. We've already got what we want.
Amen.
We're not trying to get it.
Amen.
We have agreed, if two agree is by touching anything, Wanda and I agreed, we're letting you know what's going on to agree with us. Mm-hmm. on the things. This is what we're believing. And I told you folks, I had it written down, and I told you folks what we were agreeing she's going to have. We had everything 100% of what we agreed.
Praise God.
And we didn't have to go through a whole lot. What we did is we sat down and reasoned things out ahead of time. Took the time. See, people don't do this. You want to do this. This is how this man stood. See, he has been this way with God. And now he's in a tough situation. He has reasoned this thing out. We can stand.
Amen.
I can truthfully say that. Wanda and I didn't do any worrying about that.
Thank you, Lord.
Didn't do any worrying about that. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Years early, I'd have wrung my hands. But you build over time.
Amen.
You learn how the goodness of God and how God works, where you can stop and say, this is what we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we got. We're agreed on this, and this is what we're going to have. And, even when it was over, even the surgeon agreed. He couldn't, he was shocked at how well she recovered so quick. He was shocked. But see, these were things we were believing. She wasn't going to have pain. They couldn't figure out. She's supposed to have pain. She's supposed to need shots. She's supposed to need pills. What is going on here?
God is good.
But see, we set ourselves in a direction. Is it we're great? No. God built us to this point.
Amen.
We learn how to use good reasoning to keep on track. Abraham didn't tell a bunch of other people. Why? He's trying to stay on track.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You need to learn that. It doesn't matter telling people, but if you're going to tell somebody, you tell them what you want, not what they do. It's a natural thing within a church to tell somebody a problem, and they all go to praying. It's like one man said one time, he said, I was in the hospital, and I had a lot of problems, he said, but I was really doing good coming back, and he said, my church got to pray for me, and almost killed me. And he's right. It was the church. They get over in unbelief. They get over into their, oh God, oh God. This guy's believing he's recovering and they're trying to act like God didn't done nothing yet.
Come on.
This is why, let me tell you, good reasoning does this. Just don't throw things out there to people to pray for.
Amen.
You tell them what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you find the people that came to Jesus and want healed, did they come and say, well, just pray for me. No, this is what I want. I want to receive my sight. It was exactly what they wanted. They didn't come, you know. We did this, throwing it out there, and people get over praying, and they'll pray about all kinds of things. They ain't got to do nothing with it.
Come on.
So this is why. This is not criticism. This is how to get success in areas for yourself. I'm talking about you yourself. You can't just go over and jump on anybody else and do this. You won't do it for anybody else.
Amen.
I'm talking about for yourself. You're a believer.
Amen.
Use good logic. Use good reasoning when you sit down through in the direction you're heading. Know about people around you. Just don't throw things out there. Hallelujah. Takes time. You know, I learned this from going to Kenneth Hagin meetings. Brother Hagin, there's certain things in ministry he'd do for people. He'd never ministered till he did stop. He'd be ministering healing line. A person had a problem, he'd stop and do a little teaching. And I learned why he did it over time. To get the audience moving in the right direction. Because if he just ministered, people would go all over the place and they'd believe him. He'd stop the power of God. You've got to tell people what you're doing. Because people don't know. Oh, they think they're all smart and they're all... They don't know. People don't know. You got to keep people together, flowing in a direction.
Amen.
He'd do that all the time. I saw him do that so many times in meetings. He'd stop the minister. You know, he never dealt with a demonic problem in a person unless he stopped and talked what he was going to do. He'd tell people. He'd do a little teaching on it. Because people in the audience were thinking, maybe I got a devil. Maybe that's what's wrong with me. See, people get over it. Their minds. They'll go over in the playground and the devil will come and say, well, you've been pretty squirrely lately. You must have a demon. You got a similar problem. Must be the devil. Must be a demon. Get you over there. You'll start going over there and think, dealing with things. See, these are very important. Abraham's going along. He's able for 3 days. 3 days go past, and now he can see it afar off. So now he's got to do a little bit more walking on down through there. Abraham. Since verse 5, Abraham said to the young man, stay here with the donkey. He said, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go over there and worship. This is where we're going. We're going to worship God. You understand this? See, when he did sacrifice, this was worship. It wasn't thinking this sacrifice stuff. I'm worshiping God. This is what I'm doing. See, God tells you to do something. Do it. You're worshiping him. Worship him. See, we're going down there to worship. I would imagine if he would have told them what God told him, what those two young guys would probably say, you think we ought to wait till he comes back? Maybe God will tell him to sacrifice us too. I don't know. Let's get it done, donkey, and get out of town. He said, so Abraham, he said, took the wood, burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, and where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. So then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on the altar, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. This is some little baby. He tied his son up and his son's going along with this. What kind of thing of obedience is this? See, we don't know that. I mean, you don't give a kid today what they want, dear Lord. They just scream and cry. Try to do that to them? You know, he laid him on there. Now, you think he couldn't have squirmed and rolled around and got off the altar? See, he trusts his dad. His dad's a guy. He's trusting his dad. These stories, this is why I think people read these stories and they really can't believe this stuff went on. Because there's nothing in our culture like this. But anyhow, then Abraham says, stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him a ram was caught in a thicket by its horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Hallelujah. See, that's what God was told Israel, you know, no matter what they did or what happened, that temple where they built that temple and put it there, that if they would look to that place, if they would turn to that place, that God would change everything around for them. See, this is, we need to understand this is this place. You know, Abraham went up there, that ram could have already been in the thicket, but they couldn't see it. Whatever, you know. He's seeing what God wants him to see. He's out there walking, but he's in obedience, just doing what God told him to do. That's what he is. He's down there. He's doing this thing. Why? He's doing it by faith. I'm just going to tell you this. God would have never, ever had him do this if he couldn't have that kind of faith. God would have never done it. God will never ask you to believe what you can't believe for. It'd be a stupid thing to do. God asked you to believe for something because he knows you can. You may not want to and may not do it. You may think, well, I don't have that kind of faith. You may be sitting in that kind of faith, but you've kept it hidden. But you have it. It's what you know about to know about yourself, what you really are on the inside, what you got. This is honest. Most people have a lot more faith than they've ever acted on. They've never acted on it. They've never really renewed their mind to the faith they have. Amen. Their mind's never been renewed. So therefore, it gets suppressed. It gets suppressed. God did this because he's testing this faith. He knows this man has this ability. He knows he has built this guy, and this man knows how to believe. He's finding somebody. It's just like, you know, there's one thing I've learned about this with God. God has more faith in you than you do. God has more faith in you than you do. My God, he'd never saved you. If he lacked in any area, when he looks at people and he looks in his confidence concerning people. I mean, look what he's done to the human race and salvation. That's it. Dear God, has anybody ever achieved anything that deserves what he's given? No. Well, it couldn't be based on upon performance, could it?
Amen.
Yet he has confidence in people. He saved you. He had confidence. He said he had confidence to offer you Jesus Christ and you receive him. He goes, I want to save the whole world. Mm-hmm. And the whole world's filled with garbage and rotten and everything else ugly going on. And I want to save the whole bunch of them. God's amazing. And see, you need to learn to see him like that. This is the reasoning of Abraham. He's built over time. Now, it didn't happen to overnight, and it doesn't with you or I either. God builds us over time and takes us a place.
Amen.
Some people arrive at faith faster, and the reason they are is because they use it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't rise to faith very fast or go very fast because they don't use it much. The more you use faith in areas, it helps you jump into other areas you've never walked before, that you see that, oh, God does these things. It's like I used my faith on numerous things before I got to the heart attack thing, that I had seen miracles. I came to there because I had seen the miraculous take place time and time again.
Amen.
When I stood and seen God work, and I stood up and said, yeah, this thing works. And when that happened there, it was not a new game. It might have been a little bit bigger game and a harder game, but the whole thing of it is I could deal with it because God had built me over time.
Thank you, Lord.
To be able to deal with things. The Lord said this to Kenneth. See, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. He talked about his growing up. The Lord said to him, I allowed you to go through certain things so you can teach people faith.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand about that. Why? It wasn't God was bringing things. God, see, to teach people, instruct people, it is not enough to give information. That's not enough. This is why some people are always trying, they're talking to people about stuff, but do you have really experience in faith with God? See, I have a lot of experience in things that happen over there concerning health and healing. I can be very bold about, and the reason I'm bold about it is because I've experienced. Not just because some things are written in a book. See, experience. You need it. See, the Lord told me, many years after Kenneth Hagin, I heard Kenneth Hagin say that, and the Lord said to me, he said, I'll let you go through some things. He said, so you can teach people by experience.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's another thing. You know, this is one of the things that I noticed, you know, sometime with schooling and education. We have people who are taught in areas that they went out of college, but they've never gone out and experienced in life, and then they're turned around teaching a subject in school, but they really have no experience in life about that subject. They don't really have experience in it. They've never really done anything with it. And it was a whole different. You know, I was in school. When I was in ninth grade, they made us have, you had to have 2 years, they're sort of trying to get people as you get into high school, then you're going to go into languages. And so they gave us, had a half a year of French and a half a year of German. Now, the French teacher was a girl just out of college that all she knew was whatever the book said. And I tell you what, I know about three French words. And one of them I know good is because close to America is no. That I want to remember. But she was a terrible teacher. Our German teacher, this lady knew about German and how to teach German. She knew how to teach. I can still quote loads of phrases and stuff and things. And yet I never had German after that. Why? She knew how to teach. Wow, a lady of experience. She knew the language and doing stuff with that language and being people. She knew it. We had that poor girl was teaching French. She's trying to teach us verbs and stuff, and we didn't even know words. Stupid. We get this German. She never tried to teach us things. She taught us about the language, how to talk it. And so what we did, we'd sit in class. She wouldn't talk English to us. She'd only talk German. And there you're trying to figure out what they're saying it's in. And she'd hold things up and goes on. But you know what? I found it was the most amazing thing. Over time, not long, you start picking up what she's saying. It was the most amazing thing. Like, wow. What has this lady got? She's been around the block a few times. She knows all that other stuff out there that did. She knew. See, her experience trumped everything. Her experience trumped everything. Because she could get across to us. Well, in other words, they're trying to do all this technical stuff. She's been, no, I just want to get to understand this language a little bit, you know, what words are and what they are. And we learned what things were and how to do it. It was an amazing thing. You know? You'd sit in class. You weren't allowed to do anything. You couldn't get up and sharpen your pencil. You had to say, Darf ich meinen Bleistift spitzen bitte? Can I sharpen my pencil? You know? You had to do that stuff in class or you couldn't sharpen your pencil. Your pencil broke. You sat there. She wasn't being mean. She's teaching us. And man, it's working. It was working. Hallelujah. You know, that's the way God is. You know, He ain't asking you to conjugate verbs. He's not asking you. He gives you words. And if He can get you to start using them words, it's amazing what will happen to you. But see, those words got to be a constant thing. They can't be something you use on Sunday and you use here and you use in this. They can become your life. Those words. It isn't about just quoting a scripture. It's just saying the right thing in the time of life. Things going on and say, you know, I ain't going to get miserable about this thing. I don't need to quote a scripture. I just need to decide I want to be happy. I ain't going to get over into this thing. I ain't going to get downhearted about this. I'm not going to do that. Saying the right thing. This is what I'm going to do. Amen. Well, how do I learn to do that? I learn to do that because I've learned enough about God. That's the way you do it. I've come up to a good enough reasoning to, hey, if I say these right things about this, it'll put me in the right situation. Amen. Here in this thing that I don't, that if God wants to say something, He can get a hold of me. I haven't made myself miserable, so I can't hear nothing.
Come on.
Have you been there?
Amen.
Where you got yourself so miserable? If you didn't, well, you're lying, so you did. You got yourself there where you're so miserable. We've all done that. We've gotten there and got ourselves so miserable, and then what? We can't hear nothing good, you know. My words, you'd say, told you won $1 million, you'd be mad. I've seen people get like that. You couldn't say nothing. You know, there's some mad they're just going to be mad about. You don't want to go there. Because see, that's what the devil does. He wants to take you to that place. He wants you to get over till you lose track of who you really are.
Amen.
What you really are. Amen. Don't lose track of that. Who and what you really are. I'll tell you, there you'll maintain your joy. You know who you really are. Oh, it's good on you. In the middle of trouble. So I want you to hang there. You know, God went on and finished that out by reconfirming the covenant again. Just went over with Abraham again, this covenant. And this covenant was this. This is the covenant that we inherited. We're blessed with Abraham. His offspring is blessed. You need to get a hold of this. You need to get a hold of this. You need to start talking right about your offspring. You can try all you want to do to change things. No, you first get your mouth right. Not going and telling them a bunch of stuff. You get your mouth right about it first.
Amen.
He said his offspring were blessed. His offspring were going to be blessed. This covenant was going to bless his offspring. It's going to bless the whole world. Abraham, how was he going to bless the whole world? It's coming through his offspring. Hallelujah. My offspring are blessed. Say, they do everything you like them? No, and I don't, that don't move me. My offspring are blessed. My offspring's going to follow God. My offspring going to heaven with me. I know how to talk. I know how to say things. Why? It's covenant. Am I blessed with faithful Abraham? Did Abraham get that and it didn't pass on to us? Well, then what's this thing all about? See, that's why the blessing, on the blessing, we're blessed coming in, going out. We're blessed. This is the covenant. The curse can't be the covenant. It can't be in it. There was no curse in Abraham's covenant. The law brought curse. We're blessed. Go over and read the blessing under the law was the fact your offspring will be blessed. It's there. I mean, we need to start talking in a direction. We need to move in a direction that gives God place to do what He wants to do. We're praying about things we ought to be saying, not just praying, saying. Because I will tell you this, if you learn to say the right things, it'll change your prayer life. Your prayer life will be a different thing. You won't go trying to drag God to do something. You'll say, I'm coming to you, Lord, because you want to do something. You're, if anybody loves people want to do something, you demand. If anybody has the glory to do it, you demand.
Amen.
Nobody can do what you do. That's why I'm here with you. Because I know you'll team up with me. I'm stupid. You've teamed up with me so many times. And you don't team up with me because I'm a genius. You team up with me because I trust you. I'm just amazed at what you do. You're something else.
Amen.
See, you don't come in this whining thing. It's like, no, God, I'm so glad. This trouble is big, but I can come to you. Oh, my God. I just want to thank you. Stuff is happening out here that makes me want to cry, but I come to you because I don't want to cry. Because you're the blesser. This is why
Amen.
I'm here.
Thank you, Lord.
Change your prayer life. Come in worship. You're incredible. You're marvelous. Your glory is so great. You're the miracle worker. That's why I'm here. I need a miracle, and you're the miracle worker. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I thank you. I don't need Moses' rod. I'm glad they put that in the box. Hallelujah. I don't need that. My faith will do everything that rod would have ever done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. My trust in you.
Amen.
He loves that. Talk to him like he's every bit of what it really is.
Amen.
Brag on him. And I'm going to tell you what. It's amazing what he will do for you.
Amen.
Get before him. I will tell you what. You'll walk 3 days through something and it'll be a hard thing, but you'll walk through it and just stick with it and just go
Hallelujah.
Do it. You'll do it. I'm serious.
Amen.
You will. Got to change the way you think. Got to change your thoughts about things, about what God's doing. Hallelujah. This covenant is so incredible. It is so phenomenal. Look at it and put good reasoning behind it. Don't just make it some word-to-word quote thing. You sit down and this is what God is. If he's this, what he is, then this is what he'll do for me. I can stand for him. No matter what I'm facing, I can stand for him. I can reason it out. Let him reveal himself. See, one thing, the Holy Spirit, he takes the future. He shows me things to come. Why? Shows me out there. He shows me my destiny. Why? Because the devil's going to try to trip up your destiny. And you'll stop and say, uh-uh, we ain't dying here and we ain't staying here. We ain't
Amen.
Camping here forever. Nope.
Amen.
No, we're not doing that. Hallelujah. You know, well, you're just going to have this problem. You know?
Come on.
It's like I thought the thing when I had a heart attack. I thought about my father-in-law, all the difficulties of life that he went through because of heart attacks. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that when I was down to my hands and knees. And I'm down there and I thought, I'm going to tell you, I thought, I'm better off dead than putting up with that.
Amen.
And I thought, well, I ain't dying. This ain't happening. I'm going to tell you what. I felt like I was dying. I felt like my life was slipping out of me. And I was down there, and I said, no, the devil, and then these wonderful words came, and I knew it wasn't God. You know, you're going to die. And I said, devil, this ain't got a thing to do between me and you. This is between me and my God. See, one thing you've got to learn is what Jesus did. When Jesus dealt with the demon and the demon started to talk, he told him, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You've done too much listening.
Come on.
There's been too much negative said and you've listened. And say, no, shut up.
Amen.
The only one I'm talking to me in this situation is my God. This is who we're going to hold the discussion.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me just say this. The devil ain't going to leave and never say anything. He is in this earth. And you're going to find he's going to tempt you as you go along. A number of years back, I watched a thing on TV. There's a number of big-name ministers were standing there, and they had all these prayer requests, and they had pallets and pallets of them stacked up. I mean, there must have been millions of prayer requests on that. But one minister said something, and it just grieved me when he said it. I just wish he'd have never said it. He said, we're going to pray for you guys today, and the devil will never bother you again. And I thought, what's he going to do, kill them all? I'm sorry. The devil hasn't quit bugging me since that day. I was down there. He has come along. He's a voice. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn that. He's as a roaring lion. He roars. He comes and says stuff. You just have to learn that that's there. He has a voice. Demons have voices, and they'll speak things, and they'll say things. Discouragement. God ain't going to have you in the middle of a thing where, you know, you need help, and he's trying to discourage you from faith. Anything discouraging you from faith is never God.
Amen. Preach.
Never. It's never God. God's never trying to discourage anybody from faith. I've learned to divide it. Something comes along and speaks to me in a way there, I'll just learn right away. Put a stop to that. That ain't, no, we ain't going there with that. That I ain't going to listen to. It's not God. God will always move. God will always move you to the place where you can make a stand. Sometimes you may not understand. You need to do it. You know, when I had blood clot in my lung, at first the pain and stuff was going on. I brought it to a halt, but then it started coming back and coming back. And after a while, I couldn't. But I stopped and said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I know what's going on here. What do I need to do? And he said this to me, you know what you need to do. And I knew on the inside, I need to go to the ER. I just knew it. I just knew on the inside. I'll say, why didn't you do it to heal there? I got in there, and after I finally got into place and that stuff, and we got in there, man, I got feeling great. I mean, got the stuff around. Well, why did he do it that way? I don't know, but you better obey.
Come on, come on.
Better obey. Do what he said to do. Mm-hmm. He said to do it. He said, you go in there. Mm-hmm. I went in there. We got things straight. I got myself right over in faith where I knew where I stood, grabbed a hold of it. Things turned around. Say, why do you do it like that? I don't know. He's smarter than Ed.
Amen.
That's why I talked to him about it. I didn't ask Ed what he thought about it.
Amen.
I asked what he thought about it.
Amen.
He said, you know what to do. See, and this was one thing. See, in my mind, I had this idea. I'm just going to fight through this thing. He said, you know what to do. Then, you know, really, at that time, I hadn't really checked my heart. And I looked on the inside, and on the inside, I thought, yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So I got Wanda up to drive me in. Because I'll tell you what, I couldn't have drove the car in.
Oh, come on.
I couldn't have drove the car in. Because the only way you could stop the pain was to quit breathing, and that's not a good thing to do when you're driving. You could hold your breath for a while, but I'm going to tell you what, when you started breathing again, it's like somebody's sticking a knife in your chest. I'm serious. I've heard people say about something like, I'll tell you what, that was one of the most painful things I've ever been through in my life. I never realized a blood clot in your lung, how painful. Wow. People go through that. I mean, that was painful. And one thing is, I always feel bad for people who have a lot of pain. I don't, you know, pain ain't fun, and don't ever get to be good. Don't ever, you know, I might not like somebody. You know, I give a hard time with somebody, but I don't want to see them go through lots and lots of pain. I'll tell you that. That is an awful, awful place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, I want you to understand, God is always going to meet you. The story of Abraham is a story of faith. And always remember that, God. Without faith, you can't please him. God is never trying to move you away from faith.
Amen.
He would be saying to you, I'm trying to keep you from pleasing me. That will never happen. He'll never do that.
Amen.
He's always going to move you toward faith. Always. He's always going to move you. Sometimes you don't know exactly where your faith is. He'll have to talk to you and get you to really look at where you're at. Sometimes he might ask you to step to a higher place than you thought you could. Sometimes he'll go tell you to, you know, you can't do that. You need to do this. You need to listen. He wants to take you to the place where you can trust him. That's where he wants, because that's what pleases him. Somebody may be able to take a higher spot, but that don't mean that they're pleasing him. You're just as pleasing to him to walking in faith where you're at.
Amen.
You're not trying to match somebody else. It's about him. See, this is a lot of people do stuff. They're trying to do it because somebody else. No, we don't do it because somebody else. We do it to the level that we can walk in. And God will always lead you to that level. He wants you to please him. Because if you please him, he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what he does.
Amen.
He's going to reward you. You can guarantee you're going to have reward. Glory to God.
Amen.
That's what you want. Reward. Because you want rewards you know God gave. Because when he does, I will guarantee you the next time you come up, you'll go to a higher place.
Amen.
You will. The next time, you'll just be more confident about what he will do for you.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's how God got Abraham to do what he did. And you're no different. He ain't going around asking you to sacrifice your son, but he's going to ask you to walk by faith. He's going to ask you to do things. He's going to ask you, just obey them and do it. Build yourself. Sit down in the Word of God that you know and do some good logical reasoning through spiritual thinking of what God will do. What He's told you about your life. I hear people all the time say, God told me this and told me that. But they're making decisions like they're just trying to work through this thing instead of making decisions saying, you know, God will do this for me because this is my destiny. He's not trying to kill me along the way. He's not trying to do this kind of thing. He's trying to get me to where I need to go. This is what He's doing. Hallelujah. God ain't a roadblock. And he's not a dam. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. This morning, Lord God, we just want to say thank You this morning. Thank You, Lord God, for taking these wonderful things of Scripture and Abraham. Open them up to us for us to see. For us to understand. Hallelujah. The Lord God, truly, Scripture says, if God be for you, who could be against you? Hallelujah. And Lord God, we want to put that thinking in our minds. Hallelujah. That if God's for me, who could be against me? Yes. In other words, what does it matter who is? Hallelujah. If God's for us, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Nobody's bigger than you, Dad. Dad, there is nobody greater than you. There's nobody more wonderful than you are, Heavenly Father. Glory to God. And Father, I just want to thank you. You gave us your wonderful Son, Jesus. Establish the most phenomenal covenant that man could ever possibly even think about would ever be made. It is such a blessed covenant. It's such a wonderful and glorious covenant. And you've made it for the humanity in this earth. And Lord God, we want to live in the light of the glory of this wonderful covenant. Hallelujah. But we want to glorify you in the light of this wonderful covenant. The great giver of the covenant. That, hallelujah. That through your Son, Jesus Christ, the God of all gods, the Father of heaven and earth, we can come in fellowship and talk with. Hallelujah. That we can make any request known in the name of the Son and you'll do it for us. Father, these are such phenomenal, awesome things. Lord, they're all made to us personally. We don't have to go through somebody else. We don't have to try to get somebody else to come to you for us. That, Lord God, from the person that first comes into the kingdom to the person who leaves this earth born again and goes to heaven, we can all just talk to you. We can all just come into your presence. Hallelujah. That you're our dad and you love us. Hallelujah. And you have wonderful things that you have planned and put in this covenant that you've done, that your blessing may be revealed in the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you for building us over time. Thank you, Lord God. I appreciate most of all is your great patience.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, my God. Father, there ain't nobody more patient than you. Nobody shines a light on patience like you. That you put up with mankind. You still love us. You still desire to bless us. Hallelujah. And you just keep going along and working with us. And I just, Lord God, you're just so astounding and so wonderful. And we just want to let you know how much we appreciate it. We appreciate you take the time to teach us these things and instruct us so we can go further and walk. Lord God, so others get blessed. Oh, and others, not just to go tell them about the blessing, but Lord, we want to see them, your blessing in our lives, that they can see, that they see your blessing. Hallelujah. That just as the Philistine king came to Abraham and said, I won't make a covenant with you. I can see God is with you. Hallelujah. Lord, that people would come to the glory, hallelujah, that's in the church. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.